Welcome, friends of the Libra Solutions Network. This is Gabriel, and I have a bit of a rant for you today. Unfortunately, I am quite frustrated with many issues, but fundamentally, the root of my frustration today has to do with people's personal private information being exposed. During the COVID crisis, there have been many data breaches that I've been aware of and keeping, you know, a mental tab of. It was only until quite recently that I decided to put together a list on the Campfire Wiki of what they were. Vaguely, you know, I will add more detail like how serious they are, but I link to the information that can tell you how serious they are. In putting this together, I noticed many things, but I honestly learned a bit more that really did frustrate me. I learned what the kind of standard operating procedure of these alt tech websites was when they face a serious cybersecurity incident. And there's many of them. It's not just the one I'm going to be talking about today, but there are other issues that are worth seriously looking at. Throughout the years, many cybersecurity incidents have basically put people in the broader freedom community's information at risk. And some of it is somewhat understandable. I have no ill will against anyone who donated money to the Freedom Convoy. I actually wholeheartedly support it. It's just tragic to see many people who did donate end up being basically targeted because their information was released online. And fundamentally, when we're talking about a segment of the population that many people, especially those with status, don't feel any sympathy for, I think it is on us to really raise the bar on how we want to keep an eye out for each other. So as somebody who really came onto the scene writing about technology and privacy in general, I always would try to reiterate what I think people needed to know to understand why these were a big deal. But in putting this list together, I decided I would pull the trigger and basically put out a long form article where I describe the issue fundamentally and do a bit of shaming. I list examples of the alt tech sites I looked at after I explained the issue. And I'm not just picking on alt tech because, you know, I disagree with them or I think they're bad. Actually, I agree with most of what they say, maybe not what they do. And that's really the problem, is when they're casting themselves out to be better than big tech or trying to run services for people they claim to care about. It's a red flag, but honestly quite aggravating to see behavior not match up with that. And so the very same day I published this piece, which mentions the 2022 breach of Unjected, they also had another take a look by the same security researcher who said, oh yeah, they have all the same problems. Going to get into that in a bit, but fundamentally what drives me up the wall is that there is a very flippant attitude by many of these companies within the broader freedom movement that basically act like your information doesn't matter. Because to you, your information being out there is a real physical, real world risk to you for retaliation and all kinds of other problems. But to them, oh, it's just bad PR. Oh, well, you know, just talk our way out of it. And it drives me furious. And so I actually read the blog post by the security researcher who went through the website, and it is damning because it's one thing to make, oh, a new mistake where they put the debug flag on. So that meant anyone had admin access to the site. You know, you could say, oh, well, that's just a simple thing, but it's a simple thing with a huge impact. And again, it's like you read through this and it really gives you a sense that they were not proactive. They didn't see their community as people who needed to be protected from the threats they constantly talk about. They constantly talk about government overreach and government spying, but they won't secure their own website. To me, that stank to high heaven. But truthfully, Unjected actually got basically bought out by a different company and rebuilt their website. I never looked too closely at it because I honestly would consider anyone doing business with them a fool to begin with. But it turns out that the same security researcher who wrote this blog post took a look 2 years later, and basically you can get whatever the hell you want from this website. It is the same problem. My frustration here is not that this happened. Fundamentally, it sucks, and I feel sorry for the people impacted, but I'm more upset about how stupid the people running this shit show think you are. I'm gonna play a bit of this whole discussion here, but it drives me up the wall what they will say to your face about this incident. I think it's really worth keeping in mind that this is not just a bad thing that happened to their website. This is something that happened to their users. And just because a security researcher says they haven't done anything bad with the information, and to be honest, I can believe this particular one may not have actually done anything. If one person has access to it, and it's a site with a history of being breached, I guarantee you other people are looking. So we're going to start. I'm going to play this. I clipped out from the Rumble video. As you can see, it's the Unjected show, number 58. And I'm going to start it basically where they start talking, and they'll start talking about the breach pretty soon.
What we'll do is we should start off by addressing the elephant in the room, which was technology this week for Unjected, which, you know, obviously anybody who's followed our story knows that we've dealt with an Everest of learning and growing with technology. And over the weekend,
this right off the bat is kind of frustrating in the sense that you are 2 years into your site being completely compromised. This is not a, oh my goodness, you know, how can we run a website? You know, these people are supposed to at least have 2 years of experience under their belt after a major security incident. And they make big claims about, you know, the effort they put into securing the site, which really does not match with what the security researcher who looked at this says and or is quoted for saying in the Daily Dot article. And so to me, what immediately comes clear is just how they're talking about something that could impact you. They're pretty, you know, nonchalant about this from the beginning, and this is going to be a common theme throughout the discussion.
That there was a gentleman which refers himself as Dr. Fauci, so that tells you probably a lot about him.
But sorry, this might look like a bit of a nitpick, but I'm actually kind of frustrated about it because I'm 90% sure that she's talking about the fact that he, I'm assuming sarcastically, put sponsored by Anthony Fauci in his blog post here. Now, maybe there is more to it. Maybe he referred it to in the messages with them directly. I don't have access to those. I don't know. But again, to me, the thing that strikes out to me about this is how dumb do they think their audience is fundamentally is. If their audience aren't able to look at the articles talking about the service they used, I'm very concerned about how misleading this discussion is for those people.
But we've dealt with this specific person before. His whole living is to be a security researcher. So, mind you, this is all this guy does for a living. And he is going out of his way to troll Unjected. And so you guys may have seen an article that came out where they stated that they could hack into the website. They really fluff it up and they go into these just extreme, extreme lengths to try to discredit us. And, you know, I just, of course, I'm sorry if that makes.
He's not a troll trying to discredit you. You built a terrible website that discredits your business. And then you did it again after being basically schooled by somebody who you're calling a troll, but I think is doing your users a huge benefit. And that's probably where this person's moral compass lies. Fundamentally, yeah, we may disagree with him politically one way or another, but fundamentally, if somebody is going to go out of their way to warn you about a problem that's affecting your users now, they're not really doing you a favor. They're doing your users a favor. And that's something that really isn't even discussed in this entire conversation, except to downplay the risks.
Does anybody feel uncomfortable? We never intended for anything like this to happen. But, you know, also just be aware that this person is not going to use your data, has no intention of using it, has told us that they're going to keep it 100% private. They're literally just doing this to write write an article or to poke fun at Unjected. So just know that they're not going to be using that in a malicious way. So, you know, you can still feel protected in that way.
No, that's wrong. You can't feel protected just because a particular security researcher publishing a story about what happened isn't going to use that information. If it was as widely accessible, there are other people looking for that kind of stuff all the time. And actually, they're going to admit this later in the discussion. But fundamentally, the problem here is they're trying to dissuade their customers' fears rather than informing their users who arguably, you know, a certain amount of trust is put into them, and they are misleading them by saying, oh, this guy isn't going to use the information, therefore nobody can or has. And this is so fundamentally misunderstanding the entire situation that it enrages me. It's not only that they're misleading their users on the risks of this event, but they are misleading their users on the risks of really any event.
And you know, now we've able to reinforce the website yet again and learn exactly what we need to do to help keep it even safer. Of course, this is...
If you check the Daily Dot article, which this really just looks like to be damage control for, the researcher is quoted for saying that the change they put after he contacted them privately before the article basically made things worse. It devolved the security of the site. So I don't have any confidence that this crew of people, however competent they may want you to believe they are, I don't believe they care. And this attitude of downplaying a real serious problem that impacts their user base and their customers, who, if they're male, are actually paying them, it's absurd. And it's frightening to see, because I hope they get a lot of backlash for this, because this mindset, in my opinion, is unfortunately quite prevalent among the freedom community. And I've been working hard to try to explain why these things are an issue. But these companies who, you know, basically make big advertising dollars fundamentally don't want you to understand this.
2024, and, you know, everybody who is living in a technology space understands that this happens often. So, you know, we're growing, we're learning, but, you know, we're not the only people that are under these attacks. And we really just believe it's because, you know, they've been watching the Unjected movement. They've been watching us, you know, try to succeed in our new partnership and our new website, the newest version that just came out. So, you know, they're just kind of just being jerks.
Yeah. And I just want to... I just want to emphasize the point that Shelby made, is that, like, you know, typically, like, when you see, like, a lot of these cases, like the most recent, like AT&T hack, right? These are malicious black hats, as they call them, that went in, stole user data, and are using that in a malicious way, selling it or exploiting it. Or if they get access to passwords, they put it on a password list, and then hackers can, like, you know, run a password list. And so if you have a real...
I'm going to cut in here and point out that big tech security breaches does not absolve you of your responsibility for making mistakes that they themselves wouldn't tolerate. Yes, there are exploits, there are hacks, and fundamentally, when something is as big as Microsoft or AT&T, they are a high-value target. There's a lot of money going into this. In this particular scenario, though, you are not a brand new company that has done all the due diligence and is trying your best. You are a company that has had this kind of problem before, and somebody just took a look at your website and scratched the surface and saw the exact same problem. This leads me to believe that this is more than just a security problem, but also a problem fundamental with the attitudes of the people within the corporation.
So if you use, like, baseball 123 as your password, then that's probably on a list somewhere that they can just run and crack your stuff if they want to. If they want to brute force your stuff. And so these are the things that we see typically with these hacks, or like Apple recently, you know, all of these malicious hacks. This what happened was
as of late, for months, three Microsoft executives were fully infiltrated by Russian hackers.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know. This is one of the nefarious. I work in this sector.
Yeah.
The nefarious thing about breaches that a lot of times it is nice to know that at the very least he did publish it, and that's shitty for the publicity of Unjected.
Yeah.
It is nice to know when it happens, because even with EDR, MDR, anybody who in the cybersecurity space will know EDR, MDR, even with a managed SOC tier 1, tier 2, you don't always catch it, right? You have executives at Microsoft being hacked and being breached for multiple months, and you just don't know. There's a ridiculous.
So they start off with a little bit of a cybersecurity lesson of like, hey guys, breaches are happening all the time, which is true. They're not lying about this, but then they move into the direction of, oh, well, you know, you can't even really know for sure anyways, which given their level of organization is probably true. If they have to be told by some random outsider 2 years later, serious data breach that their site is vulnerable to effectively the same kind of problem, I don't believe they would ever know if their systems were compromised, which is a much bigger problem than just having an application exploit, which is something I kind of outlined in my post before I even knew about this recreation of the same scenario.
Ridiculous amount of malware, networks, botnets, and it's...
He knows the words, guys. He knows the words. That means everything he's telling you is the truth, and there is no way he is misleading you into downplaying your own risks in this scenario. And fundamentally, I don't think there's a whole lot of value in continuing here, but I am going to let it play out a bit longer just so that you can see what is being said.
It's becoming, oddly enough, easier and easier to hack. It's become so ubiquitous that... there's a dark market demand for what's called ransomware as a service. So,
oh yeah,
oh totally, my gosh, totally.
Ransomware, and then
wow.
So these ransomware developers will develop code to breach, whether it's a network perimeter or an email or whatever, scrape credentials, whatever it is, and then they sell it to, you know, hackers that have some tech savvy for sure, but maybe not necessarily the tech savvy to develop code. And then these people subscribe to these ransomware developers. And so they're getting monthly kits, these ransomware kits, and they're deploying them. And all they're doing is casting a wide net. Now, this one was targeted, obviously, but just in general, I mean, they're casting a wide net, and it's becoming, you know, there was a stat that came out from the 2023 IBM Cyber Threat Index that in 2019, a fully executed hack from infiltration of whether it's a network perimeter through an IP, a vulnerable, you know, firewall, or if they scraped global admin credentials in a Microsoft tenant, whatever it is, from getting that to going in and scraping all of the data that they need, all the way to executing a sale on the dark web of these credentials, the average amount of time that would take in 2019 was 60 days. Mm. In 2023, it was 4.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a very... it's a very compounding. Whoa. It's a very compounding.
I'm curious why they chose to explain how bad the situation is in cybersecurity in general, if for any other reason to deflect blame, because this makes me more concerned about their site fundamentally. Many of the things, you know, he's talking about are true. But what, you know, isn't being said here is they're saying, oh, your information's fine because the security researcher said he wasn't going to use it. They didn't say what information was particularly exposed. They didn't say too much about, I don't even think they said the word daily dot. I don't think they want you reading the article about what went wrong. I don't think they want you looking into the security researcher and what he wrote about the first time around and making comparisons to what's similar, which is why I took the time to put it together now.
Problem. Generative AI and social engineering play a massive role in it.
And so is the easiest one to bypass. Like, it's, yeah, once you get somebody, like, you trick a human to do something that you want them to do, like,
the overwhelming majority of it is human error.
Human error, yeah. They're like, yeah.
human error, like building a garbage website.
I mean, like you said, social engineering. But all that to say, that is not the nature of this, of what happened here.
Right.
And this is, so we've been having, you know, back and forth conversations with the guy who published the article, Michael Thalen. And, you know, he sent over notes that the hacker had sent and kind of told us what these vulnerabilities were so that we could fix them, which is not.
Sorry to interrupt you. He's essentially like working as our friend, but he's just also being a complete dick.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting like gray area here because you know, this GOP junior guy that I showed you, and he's, you know, he's look, guys, he's got a rainbow cape. Okay. Anybody who's a rainbow cape, like, come on. Like, he's not gonna be an unjected person. He's not down with unjected.
This is a really weird thing he decided to do here. So they're attacking this security researcher who, in my opinion, is doing the people who use this website a favor. He is informing them of a very serious privacy risk that is affecting them. And the company that made the mistake, instead of owning up and saying, hey, it's been a long 2 years, these are the reasons why we couldn't fix our website for something we've known about for 2 years, instead of like a apologetic, like, hey, here's the information that was potentially exposed, here's what you can do about it, you know, fundamentally, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, which is why it is a big deal. But I would certainly caution people to stop using their real names on that site. For one, fundamentally, if you're on a website that can't be secured, you have to really restrict what information you're giving. Maybe you do have to connect over a VPN and use fancy things to change what your location shows up as. Because fundamentally, these people cannot be trusted with your data. And really, not a lot of people can. Again, they really give you a little cybersecurity lesson of how hard it is for anyone to protect your data. But that's not a reason to give it out.
Let's just say. So, you know, I will say this, though, that it's like, you know, you have the black hats, the gray hats, the white hats and stuff. And so, like, he's claiming that he's an ethical hacker, right? But ethical hacking consists of, we come together and we hire you, or we enter a contract where we say, yes, come in and infiltrate our system. Show us where the vulnerabilities are so that we can fix them. There was no authorization on our part. So technically, this whole thing was an unauthorized, illegal hacking operation.
You know what? Let's give them that. Okay. So let's say this guy is a cyber criminal working to help regular people protect their data. That doesn't matter to the person whose address is now out in the open. That doesn't matter to the person whose, you know, private information about what they put or said on the unjected site is now potentially out in the open. Fundamentally, it is of no comfort that the hacker didn't play by the rules, because guess what? None of the hackers that are the black hats he's talking about, or even some of the gray hats, will play by the rules.
But the funny thing is that they turned around and gave it to, it's like free penetration testing, they call it, that the whole pen process test, of pen test. Hiring a company to come in and hack your servers is an actual legitimate service in a business.
And this is the insane spin that they're doing right now, where instead of, again, warning the issue users, here's what happened, here's what's wrong with our website, here's what we've done to fix it, they're awfully quiet about those things. Because in my opinion, if it wasn't absurdly embarrassing, it would be really easy to say what's wrong. When big tech sites get hacked, they will say, oh shoot, there's some credentials in an S3 bucket left somewhere. Like, there's a lot of situations where you will know what went wrong and what they did to fix it. They're awfully quiet about what they did to fix it. And they're using the fact that this was done to justify, oh, everything's fine, when it's not fine. In fact, I would really be curious to see if there was a, you know, hacker willing to spend more time looking at this website. Do you really think they've taken every precaution? Because I certainly don't.
They did that for us, but not without authorization. But not with authorization. So that's
well, where, and also this is where it gets dicey too. So everybody who's, just so everybody who is, maybe, I doubt that there's a population that are listening to this that are white hat hackers. I doubt it.
I wonder why not. That's a really interesting admission to me off the bat. It seems like no white hat hackers are listening to the Unjected show, and they know that. They know that there are no white hat hackers who, with any technical ability, listening to them.
True pen tests can go wrong.
Sure.
They can go bad. And so if And
oh, don't get any ideas. Don't look too closely at our website, guys.
I don't know this. I think he's anonymous, right? To this point, I don't.
I mean, somewhat. I mean, it's you go to his website, it has his name listed on there.
So
I keep seeing this over and over. It seems to be whenever what I'm going to say, the alt regime is upset with somebody, they will criticize the fact that they are not sharing all their private personal information. If you are truly trying to represent people who have something to lose by being in a activist movement, there are a ton of reasons why you would not want to publish your name. And I can, there are many reasons why I can imagine why a security researcher would not want to have their name, address, and, you know, job contacts listed publicly. But this you see everywhere. You see it all the time in these companies and with these people where it's like the moment they need to defend a business decision, it's like, oh, it's from an anonymous person, so it doesn't matter. Which again, there are many people who will be anonymous and never tell you anything, and that's more dangerous.
What I would say, if you're doing that, Jesus Christ, you better know how to do it, because if it goes wrong, the companies that are oftentimes, they don't necessarily always put the language in to contracts for a mutual a consensual pen test. There's still liability in that.
Yeah.
And so a non-consensual white hat hacking breach. One, I guess it is illegal, but.
So I'm just going to add some detail to this because they're not being very forthcoming about this, but yes, breaking into somebody's systems and doing all kinds of crimes, whether it's stealing data or interfering with their systems. That is, at least as far as I'm aware, a crime in the United States, I assume, is a similar deal here in Canada. And yes, it is a crime to attempt to hack or to hack somebody's systems, which I think is another interesting point here, because it points out why this kind of thing is so unusual. Normally, a responsible company would do its own independent audits and would be proactively saying, hey, we found this issue, we fixed it. You know, these are pretty like normal business operations for any reasonably sized corporation. But here, these guys have to be caught with their pants down yet again. And they're warning you about, oh, you know, doing this is kind of illegal in the first place, which tells you why it doesn't happen so often, which tells you why these alt tech sites are able to get away with this kind of absurd spin if they are able to basically dissuade anyone from looking. Because yes, the status quo is there is a real personal risk to looking too closely at the technical details of really sites you don't own. And this is partially why security research was never my personal focus, but truthfully, it's not reassuring. It doesn't tell you anything about how protected you are.
If it were to go wrong with intentions of you attempting, we'll pretend that he had, you know, ethical intentions.
Yeah.
If it does go wrong, you're fucked, especially if you're publishing it. White hat hackers who are doing this non-consensually.
I'll actually add here that the hacker group that disclosed the names of all the people who donated to the Freedom Convoy, it's been 2 years, and as far as I'm aware, those people haven't been caught. And so the idea that somebody doing a malicious hack of really any website, but especially a website of people that the mainstream doesn't have any sympathy for, are you really sure there's going to be justice? And I hate to say it, if your name and address is published and some vigilantes decide to show up at your door and cause problems, you don't really have too many options at that point other than to move. So again, they have spent, let's see, the last 10 minutes here downplaying the concerns, using fancy cybersecurity jargon to tell you, oh, we know our stuff, when I'm not convinced they do. Their behavior throughout this incident, and honestly the previous incident, is not reassuring at all. And it's terrifying that 2 years after the fact, it really doesn't look like anything has gotten better.
Don't publish your thing.
That's the thing too. Is like, so there, this publication is publishing screenshots and data that they took from us without authorization. So that in and of itself is kind of a criminal act. You know what I mean? You're not trying to.
Isn't the website trademarked?
I mean, Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I would imagine
if the website's trademarked. I believe
that. Oh, you mean unjected? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. Yeah. So unjected, then I think the code probably is. I don't know the legality, but I guess
but it's just, it's
the
just,
code
to me,
is probably trademarked. So if you're
like
publishing, if you're publishing snippets of code,
just ask Julian Assange, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, whatever his intention was, we believe it's not to be malice. He's literally just a troll, to get back to the point of, you know, and to just drive home that, you know, we have had penetration testing and, you know, we do go through rounds of this. And so, you know.
They said they've gone through rounds of it, of penetration testing. A really simple way of knowing for sure is if they could publish what the results of those penetration tests were. Did they find any issues? Were they fixed? How were the issues fixed? Those are the things I would absolutely want to know during an event like this as a customer of a service that one is putting enough trust in to meet their romantic partner.
We aren't just, you know, putting your stuff out uninjected and hoping for the best. No, we do have a full legitimate team working 24/7. This is just a guy that is extremely intelligent, who took his in to have a little fun with us. But, you know, just as, again, to say that he has stated he's not going to do anything with it, you know, besides what's already been done, which is
the most honorable thing.
Yes, he's so honorable. And just to say too, you guys, we're never gonna sell your data. You know, somebody said, oh, how do we know that you didn't sell it and then say this? And it's like, no,
that's retarded.
There's no intention of that. There never has been. We aren't a honeypot for the government. We aren't helping Daddy Gov to say, here you go, here's the information. And that's why they do this to us. They try to discredit us because we aren't helping them. So they're trying to embarrass us or try to make us out like we aren't, you know, here for people. But that's literally the opposite.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think this is about discrediting Unjected. I have a feeling if they just wanted to take down this company, it would be absurdly easy at this point. We have one security researcher who basically out of the kindness of his heart decided to warn users of this site about a particular problem. It's such a huge tragedy that there isn't enough information going across these partisan lines because people like this, in my opinion, are enabled by the public's level of ignorance and apathy towards privacy and security. And I'm going to be honest, their promise that they're not selling your data doesn't mean anything. Yes, if the information exists on a site that is basically wide open for public intrusion, it doesn't matter.
So it's a bummer. It was a really great learning experience. Now we are actually even stronger than ever. Now we can be the safest place for unvaxxed people. So we appreciate your service to humanity.
It's free pen testing, free penetration testing, free. Yeah. But this is like just the last thing I wanted to say on it here. And so this is the guy who wrote the article, Michael Fallon. Basically, one of the things he said to us while he was sharing notes about the hack, he just basically said, my role when reporting on security vulnerabilities is to always first and foremost protect users and private data. So even these hackers and the people involved with this are saying that your privacy and your data are their first and foremost.
Sorry, that guy isn't the hacker. He's the journalist reporting on this story. And what I find hilarious about this is I would really love to see what the rest of the conversation is. I'm sensing a like, but you guys really effed up here. I have no idea what this is about, but again, they're just trying to dissuade your fears by saying, oh, see, these guys are actually nice guys and they're helping us out, but you know, don't worry about your information that has been exposed for Lord knows how long.
Concern, and that's why they did this in the first place.
Well, he's the writer, right?
He's the writer, but you know what I mean? He's trying to say
he has a duo with the dude.
Yeah, they're a little team. And so basically, you know, I just want you guys to take away that, you know,
come after me. I swear to Christ.
All
you're going to find is fucking like beef jerky lookups.
Beef jerky recipes.
How to fucking control my blood pressure.
Exactly. So,
steroids.
Legal steroids. There you go.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this because I always have been saying this for years. The government needs zero help in tracking anybody. If you did not get the vaccine,
with people like this, I can see why not.
Vaccine, they already know who you are. They probably already know all about you. And the reason I believe that is because the vaccine has components in it that are trackable. Why would they put luciferase, a glowing material, in a vaccine if they weren't going to track it later? Why would they put nanotechnology in these vaccines if they weren't going to adequately track
them? Or also, here's even a less conspiratorial. Do you have a cell phone?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow, my two biggest pet peeves in a single minute. Okay, so the government can get your data, therefore it's perfectly fine to run a server with no authentication and allows everyone's private information to be freely shared. And, oh, well, you might use a smartphone, so it doesn't matter anyways. This flippant attitude towards your own privacy and security risks related to your interacting with their website, to me, is staggering. The fact that this is even something they would consider saying publicly, to me, speaks volumes about what this broader freedom movement is willing to accept in organizations in its midst. And to me, honestly, it makes me sick.
ID, social security card.
And that, by the way, this is funny because this is where my professional business and conspiracies will overlap. Yeah, there's that fucking there's an overlap of the Venn diagram where, I mean, any good, I work for a very, very, very qualified and knowledgeable COO. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to say anything on this podcast just because of political intentions, but I mean, he's got patents. For Christ.
Scott Patton's. Wow. I'm really not impressed with, yes, he knows the terminology. Yes, he's probably fairly knowledgeable. But you know, it's not just about skill in this game. It's also about intentions and what you're actually valuing. Are you valuing the community you're collecting money from to run a business? Or are you just trying to spin this particular PR event and use your credentials to somehow assuade people's fears?
So it is crazy to hear that, like, some of my conspirators are like, listen, they're tracking you. And then they'll go, oh yeah, they're tracking everybody all the time. Yeah, you think they're interested in you? And they're like, okay, there's the median curve. And then we go to my COO and they're like, yeah, I guess they're not. They probably don't have somebody tracking you all the time, but if at any given point they want to know anything about you, they can know it about you. And it's 100%. Like, yeah, well,
100%, 100%. Anyway, guys,
zoom in on us from satellites in the sky.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into some gravy here. You guys ready? All
right. We'll change the energy.
McAfee beat it. RIP.
I'm very upset about that whole exchange, and that's the entire exchange where they talk about Unjected. And what drives me up the wall about it is especially that totally dismissive attitude about the risks of people's data being exposed that they reinforce over and over. This is not them being honest with you. This is a PR propaganda campaign. It does really frustrate me that this is really acceptable in this broader community. The fact of the matter is, I don't see a lot of people calling out this kind of behavior when it happens in this case, but honestly, it's happened many other cases before. And I'm glad that I have the opportunity to try to highlight this, but truthfully, I'm going to need more help. I'm going to need people willing to carry this message. I need people to understand when I write about why these data breaches matter, that they're willing to communicate it with those within the community that we care about. Because if we're just going to let this happen to people who are in a movement where we supposedly care about each other, what is the point? What is the point of, you know, stocking up food or building up local community networks if you're going to let companies and governments really run roughshod over people because, oh, they can get you anyways. It's not about the fact that the government can get information on anyone or is spying on people, because that's a choice. We can choose to protect our own privacy or we can choose to give it up. and I hope that you'll join me in choosing to protect not only our own privacy, but the privacy of those around us.